58 teams, 500-plus players, and a $30,000 top prize. That was the setup for the 14th annual Eriwa Weyalan Hand Games Tournament held at the Beshiko Cultural Center this past weekend. Teams from across the territory and even northern Alberta traveled to the community for the three-day tournament. Shanto Catholic was on one of three teams from Tsutsuke, and he said he's been coming to the Beshiko tournament for about 5 years, but has been playing hand games for a lot longer than that.
I used to see all the elders play when I was really young. My grandfather used to play, and we were just little kids when we started playing with these elders, and they are the ones that really got us into it.
I'm still super confused about what's going on as someone who's obviously not from here. Can you maybe give me a bit of a breakdown?
So you have eight players with one sub, and everyone is trying to hide one token in their hand. So everyone goes, hides their token, comes back up, and people make certain calls. There's a split. You could go one way in the center. So there's various calls, and you just try to keep them guessing and keep on trying to stay in.
Unfortunately, his team's performance at this year's tournament didn't quite go as planned.
Well, I'm out, so it's not the greatest. But yeah, it's a great time because this year we got to send three teams. I remember in previous years it'd only be one team with no drummers, and we struggled a lot, but this year we have two solid lines of drummers, so it's pretty great this year.
Talk to me a little bit more about that. Like, there's a lot of people who are coming. What's the attraction, I guess?
Like, for me, I think for everybody, it's just the love of the game, really, because everyone loves hand games. The energy, the drumming, the loudness, the yelling, the taunting. It's just an amazing, loving game.
You're a young guy. Hand games, I'm sure, has a long-standing tradition. What does it mean to you to be a part of that tradition?
Well, especially living in a time we are now with people went through residential school and a lot of things stopped, really. Like, there was a time when no one back home was playing hand games, and then it came back now, and I really think that with Canada trying to be all reconciled and with the natives, I think it's a great thing that now people are able to practice our culture again and really do what we love.
At the end of our chat, I tried to get Shanto to let me in on some of his secrets, and well,
hey, I can't tell you my secrets now, all right? Hey, then everyone will know. I'm going to be on radio. Everyone listens to radio here.
Fair enough. You heard Shanto mention earlier that at one point, hand games were nearly gone from the communities. Tony Rabiska is the cultural practices manager for the Tlicho government, and in 2006, he was one of the people to bring back the games by creating the Beshiko tournament.
One of the things that that inspires me was with the elders playing hand games back in the old days. One of the things that they always said was to reunite with other people and develop friendship and, shake hands, and it was part of unity.
But before teams were to compete, Rabiska needed to get some of the most important people on board.
Before I begin to put a plan together, I have to approach my elders to go ahead and work on this, because hand game is very traditional and sacred game, and so I have to make sure that I have elders and support from community. And develop a proposal, and I present it to the elders about my plan and some of the guidelines and rules that I've put together with some of the young people. And so the elders had a 3 days meeting, and finally they decided, okay, well, we'll support you. And then that's when we got a committee to start working on delivering the hand game tournament.
Since then, the tournament has grown to be the biggest in the territory, with $100,000 in prize money this year. That's double what it was when it first started in 2006. Rabiska said every year the four Tlicho communities come together to fundraise with events like bingos, and he also gets support from the Tlicho government to put on the tournament. Now he's looking to do research into traditional hand games law.
The traditional law is where there's certain guidelines and rules and we have to abide by. and let's say why women don't play. You know, there's a story behind that. There's sacred stories, and so these are the stuff that I like to do the research on, and start getting the elders and youth and, you know, male and female all together. Not only Bishokum, but outland communities as well. I like to share, we like to share some of the stories the elders would like to say and put that into a document and use that document so we could protect the Hangim traditional law for future generations.
After chatting with Rabiska, I was surprised to hear women didn't play hand games and asked around for why that was. This is what Mary Richardson told me.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but do women ever play hand games or no?
No, we're not allowed to play hand game as a woman because it's not our culture.
Okay.
It's not the creator gave the drum to a man. It's up to the man to play the drum. We're not allowed to play the drum or play hand game. Okay. Unless you have a special gift and the drum was given to you.
Okay.
But even if women don't play, they're definitely crucial in ensuring things run smoothly. Mary was the head of security for the event, and she said this was the biggest edition of the tournament she'd seen, with nearly 2,000 people attending between Friday and Saturday alone. I asked her how the community got ready for so many people.
Community government staff, they started preparing in about January, and they need to start in 3 months in advance so that they have everything they need on hand and all the staff they need on hand. Mm-hmm. This is the second year that I've been security, and they receive about 168 applicants.
Wow.
And they're only allowed to pick 60.
Okay. Well, it's good that there's so many people who are willing to do security at the event. That's nice.
Yes, another good thing about it is they're hiring the people that are on income support.
Oh, nice.
So it's really creating a job for unemployed people, which is really neat. And the youth that are working with me also are receiving job experience. And we have some young youth that are volunteering who are not being paid, but they are interested in helping out. I'm really pleased with that because the staff are working really hard too, because they have to be on their feet all the time. And, you know, there's a lot of people, so there's a lot of mess on the floor, on the ground, so they need to pick it up, and there are a lot of people that are misbehaving, so they have to take care of that too.
Later, I asked her how long she'd been going to hand games tournaments. She laughed and said that she's been admiring the games her entire life, and this time was no different.
This is beautiful because everybody, all the players are really active, and they put the whole body into the music, and they're following the rhythm of the drum, which is really neat to watch. Mm-hmm. I wish I can stand around and watch them, but I can't. I have to be on my feet.
The drums, chants, and cheers lasted for 3 days and wrapped up in the early hours of Monday morning. Finally, after about 100 games, Richard Romy's team from Wati won the $30,000 first place prize. At the end of the tournament, Beshiko chief Clifford Daniels spoke of the success of the games and the cultural center being a hub for the community. This was the last edition of the hand games tournament to be held in the building because soon it'll be replaced. But there's no doubt the emotion, memories, and tradition of hand games will echo long after the building's timber is torn down. For CKLB Radio, I'm Francis Tessier-Burns.